Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast, your home for grand growth through collaboration. This is your space to connect, create, and collaborate in a community of heart-centered entrepreneurs and change makers. Hosted by our community, this podcast brings collaboration to life. You will meet members who share their wisdom, offer insights and practical tips, and even interview each other. If you're ready for more clarity, stronger connections, and better results in your business, you are in the right place. Listen in, connect with us, and be part of something grand.
Hello, and welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast. I'm Jeff Ostroff. One of my roles is to serve as a podcast and mini-meet host and collaborator here at the GC. You'll be hearing from me often as I interview members and collaborators across our community. If you've tuned in before, you've probably heard us talk about our CCC framework. First we connect, then we create, and then we collaborate. It's the way we build relationships, spark ideas, and grow together. Today we're taking that a level deeper as we explore what it really means to master connection from the inside out. That's why I'm excited to introduce a new three-part series on the neuroscience of connection. I'll be joined by the incredible Ray McCauley. Ray is a neurocoach and mindfulness educator who helps purpose-driven professionals apply the latest discoveries in neuroscience to create meaningful, lasting change. For over a decade, Ray has guided individuals and teams to reduce stress, strengthen focus, and communicate more effectively by understanding how their brain networks work and how to train them for success. She is also certified in NLP and art and movement therapy and master certified in Ericksonian hypnotherapy. Ray brings a powerful blend of neuroscience and practical wisdom to help us understand what actually happens in the brain when we connect with others. I'm thrilled to dive into episode one of this special three-part series. Well, hi, Ray.
Hi, Jeff.
I am really excited to kick off this three-episode program where you're going to discuss the neuroscience of connection. It's a topic I find of particular interest. We won't get into that here. Why? But neuroscience is something I have listened to quite a bit about and find it's very exciting and practical. I think the obvious first question is, how did you get involved in neuroscience to begin with, Ray?
Well, that is a little bit of a story that I'll try to keep very short. I had been fascinated with self-growth in my entire life. I really have. And so I've studied a surprising amount of modalities. I'm certified in art and movement therapy, which is a very profound way to process. And in that, I found that there was a need for more than just psychological understanding. And that took me into, because it's so somatically oriented, it took me into a deep dive into science and understanding the body and how it worked. And you can't study the body and how it works without getting to the brain. Exactly. And so I also took a long time studying human communication and found out that psychology only took me so far. And so if we think of the distinction between psychology and neurology, if we look at a house, psychology would be like the first and second floor, and maybe the attic, and we get to the conscious, the subconscious, the superconsciousness. But neurology is the foundation that the house sits on. So if the house is tilting, redecorating the rooms isn't going to fix the tilting house. You have to go to the foundation. And so I became aware of that. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, I ran into Mark Robert Waldman, who wrote a series of books with a neuroscientist named Andrew Newberg. And Oprah loved the book they wrote called God, How God Changes Your Brain. And that just catapulted them to, you know, a type of fame. Andrew Newberg wound up on the cover of either Time or Newsweek magazine, you know, and because he was one of the few neuroscientists that studied consciousness. And so I joined Mark's training and learned about brain networks. And when I began to understand how our brain networks work, which is different than alpha, beta, theta rhythms, you know, then everything came together for me. All of the studies I had done had taken me on a journey of understanding, but neuroscience was like finding that puzzle piece when you're doing a jigsaw puzzle and you put that piece in and all of a sudden the picture becomes clear. And the rest of the puzzle is finished quite quickly. So that's what neuroscience, that's how I came to neuroscience. And that is what it means to me. It's like, if we make a comparison to a computer, psychology, which I still love, is like software. Neurology is hardware.
It's a great comparison. So it's really been a long journey, and coming to this point is sort of a culmination of that journey, although I'm sure that you're continuing to learn more, as we all hopefully do as we live our lives. I'm wondering, Ray, what do we know from neuroscience about how people build rapport and trust with one another, which is something that is so important in connecting with other people?
Yes. Interestingly enough, I give two little tidbits about trust and connection from that neuroscience has taught us. One is yawning. Surprisingly, all creatures on the planet yawn, and yawning seems to create connection. So it creates connection between humans, and it creates connection with creatures on the planet, not just mammals, but fish even yawn, by the way. Wow. Birds yawn, reptiles yawn. Mm. So yawning is one, and we will get into that in our next episode. And another is sharing values. When you share a value, and we're going to talk about networks, and there is a particular network where we'll access a value, something that's a deep core principle for us that has meaning. So once again, my teacher, Mark Robert Waldman, this is quite a while ago, they took this practice of yawning and sharing values in a negotiation between two rival gangs in Los Angeles, and actually brokered a peace between these two gangs by using yawning and sharing values.
That's amazing.
That's very powerful. You see, so if it could do that for gangs that are hurting each other, imagine what it could do just in an everyday context.
You see? Yeah. Really amazing. Now, you talk about, in some of the things I've looked at that you've put out there, about three key brain networks.
Yes.
And how they relate to this in terms of how we think, feel, how we respond. Can you walk us through, Ray, what they are and why these three brain networks matter?
Yes, happily. So the three key brain networks I like to start people off understanding is first, this network here, it's called the central executive network. And it lights up when we open our eyes in the morning, and it's looking for something to do. So it seeks. It also has the function of decision-making, ultimate, you know, yes or no. And it is what we would call our focused attention. Now, all of the three networks I'm going to talk about do more than I'm going to say today, but this is the beginning basic steps of understanding what they do. So that's what this network does. It's the focused attention guy. It's called Central Executive Network because it's the executive. It's actually not the smartest part of the brain, but it is the one that makes the decision.
Okay.
So then this network up here at the top of the head is called the Default Mode Network. or the imagination network. More scientists these days are calling it the imagination network. I think it's called the default mode, though, because it's on all the time and we'll default to it if we're not deliberately choosing to control our experience. So this network does strategy making. It does storytelling. It does putting meaning together, like what does this mean? It has both a negative and a positive bias. So the negatives, ideally for risk assessment, you know, and the positive is optimism. It also does predictions. So it does a lot of work. This network is on all the time. It's on even when you're asleep, right? Where this one tends to come on board when you wake up. Now, once again, all these networks are always flickering back and forth. It's not like, but to talk about them, I need to talk about them as if they're distinctly in charge at that moment.
Sure.
The third network, these two networks, most of us are looping all day long. The third network, we might serendipitously access. And then the third network is called the salience network. The salience network does insights, intuition, social connectedness. And we could say ahas, your brand new ahas. This is a key piece. It's like the wise part of you, or the wise part of the brain. It also has something to do on a very elemental basis with how these two function with one another. However, it can also elevate to a more conscious meaning that can be given to this default mode network so that a deeper meaning of what we're perceiving in the world can emerge for us. We actually can become more conscious. So it works on a very elemental level of helping everything connect better in the brain, but it can work at a higher level of what has deep meaning, bringing that into how we look at the world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I don't know
that I've ever described it quite that way before, but that's what it can do.
And that's called the salience network.
That's called the salience network.
Okay.
And so that network we access, let's say, if we're walking in nature, and we've all experienced it. If we're walking in nature and you come into a meadow and the meadow's kind of still for a moment, and for a moment, everything is alive and we're still and we notice it, that's a salience network moment. Another way that the salience network gets accessed is through stretching and yawning. Yeah, it's the elevator ride down to the salience network. So once again, these two networks, a lot of people, or let's say most of us without training, are running on that. Have you ever had the experience of needing to get out the door and you can't find your car keys?
Of course.
Yes. I mean, a lot of us have done that, right?
Yes.
More than we care to admit.
Yes.
And then only to find the keys later on after we calm down. You know, we basically give up. And then, maybe I'll look there. And there they are in a place where we look three times.
Yes.
All right? That's an example of this guy up here working off of a negative bias. I can't find the keys. And so if we say to ourselves, I can't find the keys, and some part of us believes that, this guy up here will narrow down the field of what we actually see or perceive, you see. So the salience network, going down into the salience network and getting an aha, like, hey, let's just breathe a little. Let's relax. We'll figure this out. It's okay if we're a few minutes late, you know, something like that. So that's that communication between these two going on now. Instead of this guy just spinning, I can't find the keys. It's going to predict I'm going to be late. You know, this is not good, you see. So we interrupt it with a salient input and we get a new idea.
This is
great.
So
the keys are found.
And the keys are found. And I have to say, Ray, I've had this happen on several occasions where I can find something.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where I look or where I thought it was, I can't find it. And then as you're talking about it now, if I distance myself from it, which isn't easy to do, but if I can, if I come back to it an hour later or the next day, it often, not always, will appear. And I can't believe it. I know I look there. Like, how did I not see it? So that really resonates with me. Also, what resonates with me is you were talking about you're in nature and you experience things. And that is this heightened sense of awareness or mindfulness that is so often spoken about. And that's, I never heard it equated with salience, but it's interesting to hear that. I wanted to ask you, because it relates to all of this, a lot of people, when they have an experience at a party, some sort of a meeting, a business meeting, and they don't know people there, they can get very overwhelmed or feel pressure or uncomfortable. What's happening in the brain at those moments, Ray?
What's happening in the brain most likely, because in the science world, we learn to say theoretically, it's this part of the brain up here. There's another network, the prefrontal cortex, that helps us codify identity. But this guy up here, the default mode network, takes off on that, and we can have a self-talk to ourselves, because this guy up here does the self-talk, does default mode network to those of us that aren't doing a visual right now. And it's predicting, that we'll be embarrassed or self-consciousness comes in or that sort of thing. So once again, learning how to deliberately access and switch these networks with the key point continuously accessing the salience network again and again, just a second, in and out, we access the present moment. You cannot be in present moment awareness and be self-conscious at the same time. You can't.
That's interesting. You get out of yourself.
And you get out of yourself. Then this guy out here that does the seeking, and part of seeking can be playfulness and curiosity. So we come to playfulness and curiosity more than self-awareness and self-consciousness. You see, we get, like you said, we get out of ourselves and get curious about the other. And who doesn't respond well when someone's curious about us?
Absolutely.
You see, and it doesn't have to be manipulative. It can be natural.
And I can really relate to this too. I have given a lot of presentations in front of groups in my career. And the times that I did the worst, because I didn't always hit home runs, the times that I did the worst, Ray, were when I was, as they used to say, focusing on my own navel. I was just thinking about myself. I went inwards instead of, thinking about the audience out there. So, I can truly relate to that. I do want to say that the work that you're doing ties in very well with the Korean Connection and what it does, because the focus at the Grand Connection is on what we call the three C's, which are connect, create, and collaborate. And that seems to tie very well into these brain networks that you've been talking about. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are. To connect, once again, is a salience network journey. To create is all three networks. Now, all of these networks are working together all the time, but I want to highlight, the advantages of each. So in our self-mastery program that Susan Jarema and I dedicated ourselves to creating to help Grand Connection members in particular, but to help anyone, you see. Because once you understand these networks, you have this map, and you understand how to use the map to your UC, the journey is easier. So the outcome of that is more connection, is more creativity. And to set the stage for collaboration is rapport, and it does all of these things. So it's all three networks rotating and the individual becoming adept at recognizing which network is dominant and that they can actually choose to create this network switching, which, by the way, science has taught us just in the last 2 years, studies were done, that it's switching these three networks that creates a state of flow.
Wow.
So imagine going into a meeting in a state of flow.
Yeah.
Not self-conscious.
Yeah. And what you're talking about here is a word that has become much more commonplace in the last decade or so, which is agency, that we have some agency. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to let everyone know that in the next episode, you're going to be guiding us through an experience of switching.
Yes.
Between the networks, which is what you were just talking about.
Yes.
Why does actually feeling the shift make such a difference, right?
You know, it's the difference between thinking you know something and knowing something. Once you experience it and you get the experience of it, you have a reference. And neurologically, because we're doing something, that reference gets codified into memory. More than just talking about it. So I could talk about this till I'm blue in the face, and you may or may not get it. In 1 minute of going through it, you'll have your own access and your own insights, your own intuitions, your own idea, your own curiosities about it in a way you cannot get just from abstract thinking. It's more concrete.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. And I know, speaking only for myself, but I only learn when I'm doing something.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't learn by reading about it. I've got to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for episode one. In episode two, Ray will guide us through a real-time experience so you can feel these brain networks shift for yourself. If you'd like to learn more about Ray or the Neuroscience of Connection Self-Mastery Program, check out the show notes or visit grandconnection.ca/self-mastery. I hope you'll join us for the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Grand Connection podcast, where we achieve grand growth through collaboration together. If this episode sparked something for you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend looking for a community to support their growth. Before we sign off, today is a grand day to reach out to someone in your own network and reconnect. You never know where one conversation can lead. Until next time, let's connect, create, collaborate.